Minnesota voters have come to expect a tax cut out of this election. Billions of dollars in state budget surpluses have convinced people like Elizabeth that the time has come for the state to collect less in taxes.
I feel like I'm paying too much. I don't think that we're necessarily need to be taxed at the rate that we are if we have a surplus year after year.
Republicans in the Minnesota House, who've been stuck in the minority since 1986, are hoping to ride the tax cut issue into the majority. This past legislative session, Republican leader Steve Swigum raised the issue on a nearly daily basis, adding an element of righteous indignation along the way.
$1.9 billion. If we cannot provide a permanent tax cut at this point, when could we ever do it?
The Republicans were upset because the DFL majority returned only half the budget surplus to taxpayers, and most of that in the form of one-time rebates, not tax cuts. And if that fight wasn't enough to whet the voters' appetite for a tax cut, the gubernatorial race should do the trick.
We take in over $23 billion biannually. And so what we need to do when money comes in over and above that $23 billion, you do need to give it back. $1.4 billion of taxes returned permanently, not just one-timers.
It should go back to the taxpayers. It's no different than if the power company overcharges you by $400, you'd expect to get that money back.
So which candidate will give the most money back? That's a harder question to answer than you might think. Jesse Ventura has yet to provide any firm dollar amounts, and the plans put out by Humphrey and Coleman emphasize different kinds of tax rates. Expressed as a simple lump sum, Norm Coleman's tax cut promise is the bigger of the two. He says he'll cut $3 billion over 4 years. Humphrey, $1.4 billion. But the Humphrey camp would rather compare the two plans in terms of what the little guy would get back, a point made by this television ad.
If you work for a living, Norm Coleman's tax rebate gimmick is a raw deal. Coleman gives the super rich $134,000 next year. But for the average working family, $33, a mere 9 cents a day.
Those numbers are based on the fact that Coleman is making the bulk of his cuts in the state income tax rates. So naturally, the bigger your income, the more income tax you'll save. In hard numbers, Coleman makes a half percentage point cut in the rates on the first two income brackets. That's income up to about $55,700 in the case of a single taxpayer without dependents. He also raises the income level at which the highest tax rate is assessed. Skip Humphrey makes a permanent cut only in the lowest income bracket, up to about $17,000 for a single person without dependents. That essentially means a smaller income tax cut for everybody, unless you happen to be one of the groups singled out for Humphrey's special tax credits.
Families that are struggling, that are hardworking families, that are trying to balance their books, help them with the child care. So if they've got a young person that is already in the process of learning by the time they get to kindergarten. And then we want to help those who are going on to college, because every CEO that I've talked to said you got to have at least 2 years of higher education. And then we provide incentives for that retraining, because also every CEO that I've talked to said, well, we're retraining our people, and the small and medium-sized businesses have a hard time doing that, so we give a tax credit there.
Humphrey is making many of his tax cuts conditional. You get them only if you're in a certain income bracket and only if you use the money for certain socially redeeming purposes. Specifically, you get up to $2,000 a year to pay for child care, up to $1,000 a year to help pay for college tuition, $500 a year for families that take care of an elderly relative at home, and $500 a year for businesses to retrain their own workers. Humphrey says his approach is wiser than Coleman's across-the-board tax cut.
Do you want to just scatter it like a shotgun and see that some people get hundreds of thousands of dollars and others get nothing? I think that's wrong.
More than any issue of crime or education or social morality, this is where the real ideological fault line lies between Skip Humphrey and Norm Coleman. Where Humphrey sees tax cuts as a chance for government to improve society, Coleman sees something very different.
When you cut taxes, what you do is you give people economic freedom. You give them the ability, you give them the ability to make choices with their money rather than giving it to government. The solution to our problems are not more government programs, and it's not more spending, and it's not higher taxes. The solution, the future of Minnesota, is going to be for a brighter future with more freedom and giving people economic freedom to make choices with their money.
The candidate without the specific tax cut plan, Reform Party candidate Jesse Ventura, sounds a lot like Norm Coleman on this general point of tax philosophy. He says surplus state revenues belong to the people, and they should get it right back to spend as they see fit. But when he talks about how to send the money back, he sometimes resembles Humphrey. For instance, Ventura says the property tax is the most inherently unfair kind of tax. In the past, he's fought City Hall in Maple Grove to lower the assessed value on his $500,000 house. Ventura says he'd like to eliminate the need for tax assessors by freezing the taxable value of a house at the price the owner pays for it. Humphrey's not so drastic, but he puts about $85 million a year into property tax relief for homeowners. For a family earning $50,000 living in a $120,000 house, that would mean a savings of roughly $230 a year. Coleman focuses his property tax relief on agriculture. In September, as the farm crisis deepened and Humphrey was accusing him of being insensitive to the needs of small farmers, Coleman announced he'd come to their aid.
My name is Norm Coleman. I know what farmers are going through, and you know you can't believe everything you hear in the media. So please understand this. I am committed to the family farm. I know agriculture is the lifeblood of our state. That's why my first act as governor will be to enact a 50% cut in 1999 farm property taxes.
Picking up half a year's farm property taxes would cost the state $150 million, by Coleman's estimate. That would mean a savings of anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 on a 1,000-acre property. Skip Humphrey followed suit with a similar proposal, but his campaign says he'd make sure the tax break went only to farmers in need, and not to the absentee owners of land being rented by farmers. Half the debate over tax cut plans consists of claims and counterclaims about which of the three can do the best job keeping the government's fiscal house in order. Humphrey's campaign compiled a list of Coleman's spending promises and calculated that he was pledging billions in new state spending. Coleman's camp was quick to retaliate, adding up Humphrey's promises and coming up with an even bigger charge of overspending. Needless to say, when estimating the price tags of the opposition's promises, both campaigns tend to round up. Jesse Ventura says he's the only one who's not promising to overspend.
You can't cut taxes till you reduce the size of government. It's that simple. And my two opponents here, I believe Skip Humphrey, he's your traditional tax and spend Democrat. Mr. Coleman, he's spend and tax. And what that means is credit card. That means put it later. When you create a big bond, you can cut it initially, but you put it on a credit card, somebody will have to pay up later. The bottom line is you must cut down the size of government before you can cut down taxes.
Ventura's take on the situation is echoed by veterans of past eras of tax cutting.
I think the expectations are rising faster than the surpluses are piling up.
Gene Merriam spent 10 of his 22 years in the state Senate as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. He says the current rush to give the surplus back reminds him of a similar time in the late 1970s.
We had surplus after surplus after surplus, and people began losing perspective on what the surplus means. And I think this happened again. Everybody believes that the state forecasters are always going to lowball the surplus, therefore we can always count on more being there.
The surpluses and tax cuts of the late 1970s were followed by a state budget crunch when a recession hit in 1980 and 81. The legislature had to meet in six special sessions to plug the hole by raising taxes again. With the world economy stalling now, Merriam says he's worried Minnesota is about to take another turn on what he calls the boom-bust tax cycle. Humphrey and Coleman both say they'll be careful not to fall into that cycle, and each says he'll do a better job of adapting to a cooling economy.
We have more than 5% reserve, which is what all the economists say. You need to have that so you can absorb the ups and downs of the economy. So that's all set aside within that balanced budget. Again, the other side, no such thing. Don't even hear what it is. I certainly haven't seen it on a paper.
I anticipate a decline, perhaps a recession. He doesn't. And if it happens, you've got a big hole in your budget, Skip. Ted Mondale said that. $1 billion hole.
But both candidates are promising to scale back only some of their tax cuts in the event of a downturn. The state's preeminent fiscal conservative, Governor Carlson, has cautioned all the candidates to go slow with tax cuts.
What you want to do is to plan your tax reductions for those years when we're moving out of recession.
If the U.S. economy is indeed about to enter a period of flat growth or even recession, Carlson says this is not the time for deep tax cuts. But with so much political pressure building over the course of steady state budget surpluses, and with so many campaign promises in the air, the next governor may find it very hard to listen to the wise men of economics and to deprive the voters of a big tax cut. At the Capitol, I'm Martin Kosty, Minnesota Public Radio.